RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Had to let it breathe a little bit today because we're ready to go on a football Friday holiday weekend. I mean, it's one of those days where you're like, you know, yesterday felt like Sunday to me, first of all. Yesterday felt like Sunday. Over at my mom's house, enjoying Christmas dinner, football is on. Like, oh, it felt like a Sunday. Well, no, it's not. It's a Thursday. And then we got a Friday coming up with, like, what's going on Friday? Oh, yeah, wait. Got to get kind of back to work. Got to do radio. Got to Sean McDermott. The Bills are practicing. Got injury reports. An injury report come out yesterday. An estimation. Kind of all screwed up. You know how it all works out. But then you're like, this morning, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. What does my day look like? It's a Friday. I have to kind of go back and look at the schedule. I think we're all settled in right now, though. I think we're good here on a Buffalo Football Friday. I think we'll call it a Buffalo Football Holiday Friday. On WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you. Sal Capaccio with you. And, of course, our Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. We will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the program here in about an hour or so. He'll give us an injury update, final injury status and update on several players that we're monitoring throughout the week. And I said earlier this week, and it's basically true, come to fruition, which is that you weren't really going to know nothing about the Bills injury report until today. Honestly. There's a report. There's an injury report, but let's think of the timeline, how this happened. On Tuesday, McDermott told us who would or wouldn't practice, but because the team played on Sunday, there's no official injury, actual injury report given out. That's number one. So we knew that. We had those players. Josh Allen wasn't going to practice. It's a walkthrough. Mitch Trubisky is going to take the work. But you don't see it on an actual physical tweet or piece of paper or anything like that, a website. Then we get to Wednesday. Wednesday is an estimated injury report because it's a walkthrough as well. And because it's estimated, it's that day. What would it be if it was today? Today, Josh Allen gets upgraded, quote unquote, because we didn't have an actual designation officially from the day before, but he's limited. But then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players, DNP, do not practice. Get to Thursday, another estimation, basically, because they did not practice yesterday. But even though it was an estimation, we did have one change, and it was a good change. Joey Bosa goes from not practicing to limited with his hamstring injury. That said, 6 notable names we're still monitoring. The Sean McDermott will give us more of an idea on when he comes aboard here in about an hour. Defensive tackle Daquan Jones, tight end Dalton Kincaid, tight end Dawson Knox, defensive tackle Jordan Phillips, safety Jordan Poyer, kicker Matt Prater, all of them not practicing at all this week so far, whether estimated or not, listed as DNPs. So we'll get the injury update from Sean McDermott, like I said, in the 11 a.m. hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. At the bottom of this hour, though, we'll check in with Paul Hamilton. Yeah, it's a Buffalo Football Friday, but folks, the Sabres are surging. They are the hottest team in the NHL right now, and they are just 2 points back. Let me reiterate, 2 points back of a playoff spot. Now, we've been down this road before. Last year in November, they actually got to a playoff spot, and then they proceeded to lose 13 straight games. But right now, after Christmas, ahead of the new year, the Sabres sit at 40 points, and the second wildcard team is the Florida Panthers at 42. Heck, the Sabres are 3 points out of third place in their division. Top three make it. If they can get a victory tomorrow night against the Bruins, which is going to be a rocking KeyBank Center, by the way, if they can get a victory tomorrow night against the Bruins, I mean, if things fall their way, they could be within 5 points of the division lead. I mean, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's 7 in a row. You could get to 8 in a row tomorrow night against the Bruins. There's a tough stretch coming up that includes, well, tough, they're on the road. They got to go to Dallas coming up, but I mean, just keep stacking these dubs, man. That's what you got to do. Just keep stacking them. And I know Paul has come out and said this and others have said this. I've never been in the same camp of, well, there's just too many teams to pass. When there's 40 games left, you just keep playing and winning. And if you can do that, you'll pass those teams. Because nobody, the other teams aren't going to keep winning too. And you're going to play them along the way. So I get it. Like, it's tough. To me, the problem wasn't the number of teams in front of them when you're in those situations and when they were in that situation recently. And still, it's not the number of teams in front of them. It's simply the number of points to make up. Because other teams are going to win too. You can't expect everybody to fall off. But either way, they're right there now. And they have an opportunity with a new general manager who, so far, is undefeated, knock on wood, in his tenure, Jarmo Kekäläinen. I don't think that's necessarily... It's coincidental in one regard, right? But it's good to have some injection of something new and fresh in the organization that I do think helps. And I'm going to ask Paul about that, how much that actually helps. It's the intangibles you can't quantify necessarily, right? Getting a new GM and a new way of looking at things and players thinking something's different, something's changed. How much does that actually matter when it comes to the on-ice performance? We'll talk with Paul at 10:30. 803-0550, 11:30 or so, right after Sean McDermott, will be our guy Patrick Hammer. A very big weather update today because we do have some not nice weather coming this afternoon here to Western New York into tomorrow. And then Sunday for the game, what's it going to look like? Could be some rain, could be some snow. Drive in, drive out, like all of that matters. The timing of it, not only this week, but then next week, the final game at Highmark Stadium. And who knows? Maybe there will be another game at Highmark Stadium after that, but the final scheduled game, and it could be, very well be, the final game ever at the current Highmark Stadium a week from Sunday. So we'll talk about all that into the new year, another holiday on tap next week. I have spent an inordinate amount of time lately thinking about who the Bills are going to play in the playoffs. Like, I just sit there and look at the standings, and I go through all the different scenarios in my head of who could win, what that means for them, New England against the Jets. And yes, and that said, it does include, like, the unlikely possibility of an upset of the Jets over the Patriots, but I don't think about that as much because I think that's so unlikely that I believe the Bills will be the 5, 6, or 7, and I kind of have my brain set on that, even though absolutely, go get the 2 if you can get it. I mean, the 3, whatever. Win the division, right? If you can get that, that'd be amazing. You get a home game, and then things change, but you still have the same possible teams, folks. I mean, right now, honestly, I know that it's, like, less likely for some of these teams. I don't think there's any team currently in the AFC playoff field. I could be wrong about this. I don't think there's any team currently in the AFC playoff field that the Bills can't play in round one. Denver, New England, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Texans. So, but you have to have it all fall different ways, and some are likely, some are not. I mean, right now, Denver's got the number one seed, but what if they lose to the Chargers and the Jags get up and pass them, the Patriots pass them? I think those two things can happen, I'm pretty sure, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, they're the 2, the Bills finish at the 7. Bam, there you go. If the Bills are the 7, which is still a very, very, I don't know, possible outcome, then they could be at any of these teams finishing in the 2. Broncos, Patriots, Jags, and the Chargers. They could finish at the 6th seed and finish. And what if Houston passes Jacksonville? That's 6 at 3. Chargers could still win the West. Chargers could still finish. Well, they couldn't finish 2, 3, or 4 then if they don't win. They could, I guess. If they don't win the West, they're going to finish 4, 5, or 6. 5, 6, or 7, excuse me. Botching that one. But that could still happen. And yes, the Bills could still win the division if you get a very unlikely upset of the Jets beating the Patriots. But I have spent way too much time thinking about that over the last, I don't know, couple of weeks, but especially into this week. Would have been really nice to have the Chiefs win last night, but it wasn't, like, critical because the only reason why you think that way is because the Bills could still have a look at the 1 seed, right? Otherwise, it doesn't matter. I mean, if they're not going to get the 1 seed, then who cares? Just let Denver win the West and, you know, let things fall where they may. In fact, you might want that more because then if you just don't like the Patriots, you don't want them to get the 1 seed and feel like, oh, there you go, resting and at home and all that. And that's just kind of just the way it feels, all the feels there. You know, give it to Denver. That's fine. But it would have been nice. So how about last night? Dan Dale, were you like me and, like, kind of watching and rooting for the Chiefs, but, like, with the horror movie, kind of hand over your eyes, you're like, oh, I know that I'm kind of rooting for the Chiefs, but I feel really dirty doing this.
Yeah, it was just right? Like, I have both of my hands covering my eyes with just the little peek.
Yeah, me too. I was rooting for the Chiefs last night.
Yeah.
And they put, like, a JV squad out there, it seemed like, at times, in different positions, especially, like, and I don't mean to disrespect it, like, it was like a practice squad. Someone wrote that they have a practice squad playing, a preseason. That's what it was, a preseason roster playing against them. And yes, the quarterback did some nice things, but come on. And yet, here they were winning the game and then tied in the fourth quarter late against the Broncos.
No, you never would have thought that a quarterback I've never heard of until, like, maybe 2 days ago is going to have
made his first
chance,
ever start, by the way, yesterday.
Yeah, first ever start and have a chance to beat the AFC leading team in the Denver Broncos? Like, who thought?
I know. Oladokun. Oladokun, I think, is how you say his name.
Okay.
Oladokun is how you say his name, I think. I apologize, because I have not heard of him either, really, until yesterday. I looked. Shane Buechele was actually active yesterday for the game.
I really thought he was going to be the starter, and that's why they brought him back.
Maybe he starts next week. They want to get a look at him, right? But yesterday, this is why I think about like the playoffs in this regard. So Joe talked about this a little bit today. He tweeted about this. The Broncos, take a look at their schedule. I mean, give them credit. When you win games, you win games. And when you find ways to win, you find ways to win. There's nothing wrong with that. And we would take it. Remember the one year, a few years ago, the Bills couldn't win one score games and it became a talking point, and then suddenly the next year they did. Remember last year, the Chiefs won every one score game, and then this year they're not doing it. And then last year, the Broncos were not good in one score games, and now this year they're winning all these one score games. It's the luck of the ball sometimes. It's a turnover here. It's a toe tap in or out. It can be totally anything, one little random difference between winning one-score games and losing one-score games. Give the Broncos credit. They are winning a lot of one-score games. But some of these games are against teams where, boy, you feel like they should just be better than them. Now, impressive wins they've had this year. They did beat Kansas City earlier, 22-19, right? Right before the bye. That's before the Chiefs were kind of back in the, who are they really? Houston. They beat Houston 18-15. One score game, but nice. I mean, they crushed Dallas by 20 points, 44-24. Not that the Dallas is great, but you know, that's an impressive win. Remember they came back on the Giants. How the heck, remember they scored all those points in the fourth quarter against the Giants? That was insane. What was it, 30 points or whatever in the fourth quarter they scored? They were down 26-8. No, they were down 19-0 going into the fourth. Oh, they scored 33 points in the fourth quarter that day. And if you like look at the big picture, the reason why I've spent so much time thinking about this is because I just can't decide what's best for the Bills or not, to be honest with you. So I'd like to ask you that today. Before everything happens on Sunday, like, you have a preferred outcome here. I mean, winning the division is obviously great, but you could also face Houston at home. Maybe you don't like that. I would say, I don't care. If you're at home, you're at home. That's great. Give me home games. I know people say, oh, go play Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh looked a little better lately, and they might be resting players week 18, which makes it tougher. When you're resting TJ Watt, and hopefully he's, you know, medically okay because everything happened with him with his lung, you're resting Aaron Rodgers. You're resting older players. That could be an impact and a factor. Maybe you don't want to go to L.A. and play the Chargers the way that they're playing right now. I mean, maybe you don't want to go to Jacksonville. I mean, what is the preferred kind of path here? Does Denver look that daunting right now? They can win games. They win a lot of one-score games, but I'm thinking, I don't know. Maybe you'd rather go to Denver than New England. I know it might sound crazy to some of you. New England's a division opponent. They already beat you once this year. Going there twice and winning would be very tough. They have a very, very good young quarterback. I'd take their quarterback over the Broncos quarterback right now for sure. So yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at this. The other thing we're going to do today that I want to get to a little bit later is we do this every kind of week. The Bills play a game, but especially when they're at home. Memories against the team they're playing. And this week, obviously, the Bills are playing the Philadelphia Eagles. And folks, if you talk Bills, Eagles, memories, there's basically no way to me you can't start with the incredible Randall Cunningham play out of the end zone to Fred Barnett. I tweeted it. Go find it. It's on YouTube. It's incredible. The Bills were on the wrong end. It's one of the most iconic plays ever at this stadium, like singular plays. Randall Cunningham escapes Bruce Smith. Did you see the play that I tweeted out, Dan? Have you seen the play? You got to go look at it. Go look at the play I tweeted out. You got to start. If you're going to talk Bills, Eagles, okay, memories, I tweeted out the play and said, you have to start with this play. It's Randall Cunningham. Well, it's 1990. I got to go back and look again. He's in the pocket, in the end zone. He's going to get sacked for a safety. Bruce Smith comes over. He ducks out of it. Runs to his left. He's a right-handed quarterback. Just launches the ball downfield. Fred Barnett goes up, out jumps a Bills DB, and then takes it to the house for 90-plus yards for a touchdown. But what other Bills-Eagles memories might you have? The year that I moved back to Buffalo, 2011, I think it was, they played on Halloween or right that weekend. It was unseasonably warm here, and the Bills got the Eagles to jump off sides late in the game to win the game. Like on a hard count. I remember that one. Cornelius Bennett had an amazingly monstrous game in 1987, just a month after he shows up to Buffalo, basically, but it didn't matter. It was the last game of the year. You might remember that, but it was kind of nondescript because the Bills had lost to the Patriots the week before to not get in the playoffs. That's the strike year. That's Bennett comes to Buffalo in the big trade. Eric Dickerson. Bills Eagles memories. We can get into those too. 803-0550. And of course, the Eagles had for quite a few years, they had a local quarterback from Lackawanna, Ron Jaworski. 803-0550. Tony starts us off in Buffalo. Hi, Tony. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Sal?
How are you, man? Well,
I'm good, man. For me, it's very important to get the 5 seed if we can't, sneak out the division with an upset to the Patriots. And it's not just Pittsburgh. I feel like a lot of this is being predicated on what that round one matchup would look like. I would want Pittsburgh over the others, as good as they might be playing or maybe catching a little stride. I think there are knots below the other teams. But something I don't hear talked a lot about that I think is real is, pardon me, if we were to be the 5, I think the 6 and the 7 can compete with the division winners to where we could potentially – be in a spot to host the AFC championship game following what would be the divisional round. I think it's almost mathematically impossible to host a round 2 game. Should we be the 5 and play Pittsburgh?
No, it wouldn't be mathematically impossible. In fact, it could happen because you would just need 7 to win and 6 to win. Then 7 would go to 1 and 6 would go to 5.
Okay, so we would need them. We would need them both, not mathematically, maybe a little less likely.
Yep.
But I think the AFC Championship is real. If we're the 5, and that might be driving me to want the 5 just as much as the round one opponent. Your thoughts?
Totally
on that?
Get it. Totally get it. Yeah, and we've talked about it a little bit, Tony. And I think that the reason why we don't lean all the way into that is because it's probably so unlikely, right? Like, come on, what are we talking about here? You'd have to have 5, 6, and 7 all win. Or, in your scenario, you wouldn't have to have 5, 6, and 7 all win. The Bills would have to win at 5, 2 games, so they win at 4, and then they win at, number 1 or 2, whatever. And then somebody below them, 6 or 7, also wins. A couple games. But, I mean, this could be, if you look at the playoff field, I understand going on the road in the playoffs is tough, always. If you look at the playoff field, I think anything is possible this year. Anything. Including the Bills losing in the first round at Pittsburgh. Or at home if they get in as a division winner to a Houston or a Chargers or whatever. Like, seriously. Anything is possible. The number one seed this year is probably the most tenuous it's been as far as a team getting it and then thinking they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Then you could imagine and remember. I think it was 2021. The Titans had the number one seed at 12-5. Remember, the Bills, because that year they lost to the Titans down in Tennessee, right? Was that the year? Let me just check the Bills schedule that year. Was that the year they went to Tennessee and lost in a month? Yeah. They lose that 34-31. Josh Allen slips at the fourth down near the goal line, all that, right? If the Bills win that game, they're probably the number one seed. And that was a game in October. But because the Tennessee won that game, and Tennessee also, I believe that year, they beat the Bills and then they beat the Chiefs the next week. They did. They wind up as the number one seed. And what happened in the playoffs that year? That was the year the Titans, as the number one seed, let me go to the schedule here. They lost to the Bengals in their first game. And we all know the Bengals then went to Kansas City and they won, and the Bills had lost to Kansas City that same year. That's 13 seconds, all of that, right? That year was wild when you think about it. That year, the number one seed gets knocked off in the AFC. This is 2021 now. Number one seed gets knocked off in the AFC. That's Tennessee. Bills won. Oh, that's the perfect game. New England comes to Buffalo. Vegas goes to Cincinnati. Cincinnati beats them. So Cincinnati then plays Tennessee in round two. They win, and then Buffalo gets. So you had 1, 2, 3, and 4 all survive. There you go. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 all survive. And 2, Kansas City beats Buffalo with 13 seconds left in the game, and 4 beats Tennessee. And remember, that's the year. So the Bengals would have come to Buffalo for the AFC title game. But the point I'm making is, ever since then, that was 21. Then you get to 2022, number one seed, Kansas City. They get to the Super Bowl. 2023, number one seed, Baltimore. They get knocked off by Kansas City. Go to the Super Bowl. And then last year, Kansas City gets it. But I think this year feels like the most kind of tenuous spot you're in if you're the one seed, that you could be knocked off by anybody. I don't even talk about the Bills. If Denver's the number one seed, you can't see them losing to Houston or the Chargers or the Jags. I can. What if New England's the number one seed? Same thing. Any of these teams can win. I think the AFC is wild. It's wide open. We could be talking about an early exit. We could be talking about a deep, deep playoff run. Your thoughts on the AFC playoff picture? Your thoughts on Eagles, Bills, memories? Randall Cunningham, the one that first comes to mind? We'll do all that today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and a Buffalo Football Holiday Friday here on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton up next to check in on the surging Sabres with a really big game tomorrow night against the Boston Bruins. Keep it right here on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
All right, Paul Hamilton joins me ahead of the Sabres taking on the Bruins tomorrow night in what should be a really fun atmosphere down at KeyBank Center. The Sabres only 2 points right now out of a playoff spot, and Paul is on the West Hur Hotline. Paul, I hope you had a really awesome Christmas. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you.
Thank you. I hope Santa was good in your home also.
Yes, yes, he very much was. I want to start with a question that you can't quantify, right? You and I love these. I think you and I are very much cut of the same cloth, where there's a lot of things that happen in sports you can't quantify, but you just know they're there, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How much does new injection, a change at the top, GM, Jarmo Kekäläinen, when players see things that are happening, new people coming in, veteran hockey people, how much can that, or do you think it may have had played a role so far in this resurgence and this winning streak?
Well, really, when I think about it, I think you and I could compare notes on the sports that we cover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Buffalo Bills before Sean McDermott showed up and the shape that organization was in. He shows up, and I know culture is a buzzword that a lot of people don't like. And I agree, not all coaches and general managers can pull off culture. As a matter of fact, very few of them can. They all want to. They all talk about it. But very few. I had heard culture by Buffalo Bills coaches for I don't know how long, and it never worked. And then Sean McDermott shows up, and he has a culture of excellence that he ingrained in that organization from top to bottom. And it's how they live out there. And look at how it changed that franchise around. And now they're, 7 years in a row in the playoffs when they went 17 years in a row without the playoffs. And, now let's take it to the Buffalo Sabres. I think, there's a possibility that Jarmo Kekäläinen can do some of the same things in changing the culture of the Buffalo Sabres the last 14 years.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think long term it can definitely, and it should, make an impact. Do you think that in the moment when guys see that, does it have them look at things differently, look at their spot differently, know, hey, wait a minute, we got a guy here who, if I don't pick up my game, if I don't do the right things, if I'm not kind of changing the way I operate on or off the ice, things could be different for me. And does that have something to do with it too, do you think, with some guys? We hear about guys not wanting to be in Buffalo. Let's be honest though. Like, guys don't want to be, oh my God, you're not part of what we want here. We want you out of here. A lot of times they want to be part of the solution. When you see something like that, I think about Rasmus Dahlin saying, hey, I'm excited. It's something new, obviously. He wasn't necessarily shooting a shot at Kevin Adams, but it injects new blood and new energy.
Yeah, what Rasmus Dahlin was doing was looking forward, and not looking back, looking forward. And that's how he felt looking forward. And it can. And when you turn an organization around like that, nobody wanted to play for the Buffalo Bills when they were losing all the time. Buffalo, that became the city and this, that, the other thing. Well, I think a lot of people want to play for the Buffalo Bills now. It's a mm-hmm. destination because of what Sean McDermott has built here, because of Josh Allen, because of the players that are here now, because of the winning. And that will happen in hockey too. Yeah, the Buffalo Sabres are not a destination right now. Who wants to come and watch this team lose for 14 years in a row and that type of thing? And then, once again, people start thinking it's the city. No, it's not the city. When Daniel Briere and Ryan Miller and Chris Drury were around, people wanted to come to the Buffalo Sabres. They weren't all upset about it. They wanted to come and be a part of that. And if the Buffalo Sabres start winning, that will all change again. People will want to come to the Buffalo Sabres. So it's not because people hate the city. It's they hate the losing. And once you become a winning organization and a class organization, people will come. Trust me.
I 100% agree. I mean, the comment from Kevin Adams, obviously, that he never should have said was the palm trees comment. We all understand that. There's also a little bit of truth that lies into what he said. You just can't say it. But really what it is he's basically saying, hey, if you're not winning, you better give other reasons to come here. But winning trumps everything, and they haven't won. And now you're right. If you start winning, that trumps all that stuff about taxes or palm trees or anything like that. And hopefully that can continue on, because right now the Sabres have won 7 in a row. I'm looking back at some of these games. You have one goal game, one, two, one. They're winning tight, close games. What's been the difference in this 7th game stretch?
Starting with the Seattle game, every single game since then, they have been protecting one goal leads in the third period. That is something brand new in Saberland. They could not protect leads on a consistent basis to save their lives. You know, the other team would pull their goaltender. They're going to score. You know they're going to score. And in the game where you should have picked up 2 points and given up none, you wind up losing in overtime, and you picked up 1 point and gave the other team two. And that was more of their the way they operated. But now they're not afraid of protecting a lead. First, they're getting good goaltending. You got to get good goaltending if you're going to protect the lead. And they're not giving the puck away. They're not putting their goaltender in very bad situations. On a rare occasion, maybe, yes, you're not perfect. So, yeah, you're going to get the occasional giveaway that might turn into a breakaway, and then your goaltender has to make a big save, which has happened. But for the most part, their puck management has been excellent in those third periods. They're giving up very, very little, and it's everybody buying in. Even guys who really haven't played well defensively are playing well defensively when they're you know, trying to protect the lead. The only time it didn't work, it did actually work 5-on-5. They were protecting the lead against the Islanders, and then took a penalty, and the Islanders scored on a 6-on-4. And you know, then the Sabres were still able to win the game in overtime. But unfortunately for them, they gave up a point to the Islanders, who were one of the teams they're chasing. But that's the only time it didn't work. But in reality, it did work. I'm talking 5-on-5 protecting leads. It did work. Now, Ottawa, Alex Tuch took a penalty that he was nervous about. I asked him after the game. I said, were you nervous in a tie game that you were going to lose the game? Or were you confident in a penalty kill that's been number one in the league for a lot of the years? And he just laughed and he said to me, both. You know, he wasn't happy. And that is the one thing they have not fixed yet. They got to stop taking these late third period penalties. They just have to stop doing that. It's going to come back and haunt them. They got away with it against Ottawa. They won the hockey game, and they won the hockey game against the Islanders, but they did give up a point because of it. That's the one thing they have not fixed, and that's something they need to fix.
Paul, I thought maybe we'd see some goaltending movement after what we heard Kekalainen say. I mean, he's kind of made it known it's not ideal to have three goalies. They'd like to get down to two. We know that Ellis had been out also with the concussion. Where does everything stand right now from what you've seen as far as how they've played? You know, Alex Lyon, of course, obviously playing pretty well, but also kind of what you think the organization wants to do going forward.
Well, Lukanen stepped in. He hadn't played in a while. He hadn't played since Calgary when he got pulled. Mm-hmm. And that's when Lyon started his streak of playing in every game. And he hadn't won a game on the road all year. He was 0-4-1, and he stepped in New Jersey and was phenomenal. Played yep. his best game of the year, I thought. Made some huge saves in the first period when the Sabres didn't have their game yet. And you know, so he showed. Look, he said afterwards to reporters that it didn't matter on the road, at home, or whatever. I got to start playing better hockey,
mm-hmm.
and he knew it. And he did for that one game. So now both goaltenders have been involved in this little streak. And, you know, now Lindy Ruff can look at Lukanen and say, okay, I liked his last game. When I got to throw him in there, you know, he's going to be okay. So, you know, Kekalainen has not been at the job for all that long. And this is not a time of year where a lot of trades are made. There were a few right before the freeze. The freeze ends on the 28th. So the next couple of days,
mm-hmm.
The roster freeze, and then you can start making trades again. Right now, they have a goaltender on injured reserve, so they do only have two goaltenders right now. But, you know, that goaltender is in practice, so you're back to three goaltenders in practice. So Kekalainen has to make a decision on how he wants to go. You know, Lyon's on a two-year contract. It's not like it never happens where a 32-year-old goaltender is on top of his game for a long time through his 30s. There's some in the league right now that are doing it. So, you know, does he decide that maybe Lyon with one of the young goaltenders is the future? And I include Levi in that. You know, make a decision that maybe Lyon is the guy we go forward with. Now who do we pair him with? Do we pair him with Ellis? Do we pair him with Lukanen? Or do we pair him with Levi? What's the future of the team? He's got to look out forward also, too. And he scouts all the time. He knows what's going on with Lukanen. He's seen Lukanen all through his career. So it's not like he has to play catch-up here. He knows these goaltenders, and he knows, you know, where they are in their careers and that type of thing. He's been watching a lot of Rochester American games And I'm sure he's very aware of what Devon Levi's done when he's been in the NHL, too, where he is in his development. So I think that's where the decision lies. If you're like Kukalainen, do you think Lyon has a future? And if you do, which young goaltender are you going to pair with him? And then you probably, the other two are on their way.
Paul, injury updates. We know Timmons is out, obviously, long-term right now with the broken leg. Tyson Kozak, Jason Zucker, Justin Danforth, anything that we know on any of these guys?
Well, I'm wondering if we see Zucker out there for the morning skate tomorrow because Lindy Ruff said he had had a conversation with Zucker. This was probably about a week ago, and that he's looking at right after Christmas. So we'll see. Of course, there's no practice today. And no team, by the way, just people are wondering, the Bruins cannot travel today. They have to travel day of the game, just like preseason.
Yeah, good point.
In preseason, you do have to. They all travel day of the game. So they could either leave at 3 o'clock and show up for the game day, or sometimes, and the Sabres have done this before, they leave like at 8 or 9 o'clock, do the morning skate on the road, get day rooms so they can nap or whatever,
and then
do the game. But no team can travel today. They have to all wait till tomorrow morning.
By the way, I'm glad you brought up the Bruins. I was going to ask you about them. They've lost 4 in a row, 5 of 6. They're a team that's been a bit surprising to me. I didn't think they'd be even in the mix. I thought they were going to have a pretty hard reset year, but maybe coming back to earth here. And this is a team 1 point ahead of the Sabres. What have you seen from the Bruins this year, and how important is it to make sure that you bury this team as they start their 5-game road trip?
Well, they certainly have had the Sabres number. Mm-hmm. Both games were in Boston. Buffalo, one of their worst games of the year was against the Bruins. Yeah, I think maybe they're now playing to what we were expecting before. The Sabres are now ahead of them in points percentage. I always qualify this. I do standings by points percentage because it takes the games in hand out. So that would put the Sabres, they would only have to leapfrog two more teams points percentage-wise. Yep. They're at 556. The Senators are 569. And the Capitals are in that last playoff spot at 581. So the Sabres are past the Boston Bruins when it comes to points percentage, 556 to 539. The biggest thing that surprised me about the Boston Bruins, I never in a million years figured Morgan Geekie to have 25 goals at this point of the season and be one of the leading goal scorers in the league. It started last year. Last year he became a goal scorer in this league, and I just never really figured Morgan Geekie as a goal scorer, you know, and then all of a sudden that happens sometimes with players, and now he's taken off, and I guess last year wasn't a fluke because he's got 25 goals this year too, and he scored a big goal against the Sabres in Boston. So, you know, it's definitely along with Pastrnak. And it's interesting that Pastrnak only has 14 goals to 25 for Geekie. You know, those are the two guys that really, you know, the Sabres have to make sure don't get going crazy against them tomorrow.
Paul, anything on Yuri Kulik?
Yeah, Kukalainen, when we spoke with him in Ottawa, said that really he doesn't have any update as far as when he could be back. And you know how teams are sometimes. They don't want to give you an update. But honestly, I think he was 100% telling the truth. This is a blood clot. You can't predict them. You can't predict when a blood clot will be dissolved or when it will be gone or when you're no longer in danger, you know, as far as trying to play or something like that. So I 100% believe him when he says that, you know, they just don't know when Kulik. You know, I saw, you know, there was a one practice. He was standing at the bench. He often is over there. But, you know, he had a stick, but he was just, like, leaning over the boards, like passing the puck to players and stuff like that, you know, in his gym shorts and stuff. So, you know, he has not been on the ice yet or anything like that. So it's just kind of a waiting game. And you wonder how he – does he feel good? Like, does he feel like a normal person? But he knows this is inside his body, and he has to take care of it. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, that's probably the thing. He may feel fantastic, but you have to be careful with something like this, like a blood clot.
Paul, you and I have not talked since the Sabres made a couple other additions to the front office. Just about a minute or so left here. Just your overarching, maybe if you could explain to people what Mark Bergevin and Josh Flynn bring to the organization. Flynn is assistant GM, and Bergevin is the associate GM.
Yeah, Flynn has always done contracts, the CBA, I read today that, you know, he was kind of the one that convinced John Tortorella that analytics are a good tool to use in your coaching and things like that. So he's been around a while, somebody that Kukkonen, as Kukkonen said, he knows exactly how I want things done and how I want things set up. As far as Bergevin, that's a great hire. I mean, another former general manager of the Montreal Canadiens was GM of the Canadiens for about as long as Kukkonen was for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So just, I think that's a great add to the organization, just to bring another person in. And Kukkonen is the type of guy, he doesn't want to sit at a meeting table with the hockey department and have everybody said, yeah, Jarmo, you're right, Jarmo. That's right. That player does exactly that. He wants to be challenged. If somebody at that table doesn't think a player think the same thing of a player as Kukkonen does, he wants to hear that. He wants to know that. And then they'll discuss, well, why do you think he's there as opposed to why I think he's here? So those are the types of things I think you're going to get from Bergeron and other people that I think he'll bring into the organization.
Tomorrow night should be fun, Paul. It's one of those times at the arena that we haven't had enough of, you know what I mean, over the last 14 years, obviously. But I think tomorrow's going to be one of them. Holiday weekend, you got the Eagles in town against the Bills. It's a Boston Bruins. Like, I close my eyes and I think about Boston Bruins hockey back in the 80s and, you know, 70s and brawls. And, I mean, it comes to life when they're here anyway sometimes, especially some of the Boston fans that come to town. But I think tomorrow's going to be a pretty fun night in the arena.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still this way, but when I was in college, these are the games, you know, you come back for Christmas break.
Yep.
So you get a lot of college kids in there who are home for the holidays and go to a Sabre game. I used
love
to. Yep. And I used to look around and see a lot of people, and I honestly don't know if it's still that way, but I loved it back when I was a student.
Should be very fun. Thanks a lot, Paul. We'll catch up this weekend. And, of course, PHAM1717, where everybody can follow him on Twitter. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Take care.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton right there on the Western Hotline. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, and do you see this story about the Jets and what they did to this fan? What they did to the fan. Like, the Jets kind of, you know, there's teams that just can't get out of their own way, right? New York Jets, not Winnipeg, by the way. We just talked hockey. There's teams that can't get out of their own way. I ran across this story today. I'm like, come on, really? I want to share this story with you when we come back and get more into Bills-Eagles memories as we head toward the 11 o'clock hour. We'll take a look at the AFC playoff picture and your calls. Do you have a preferred outcome? What are you looking for here as far as the Bills and the seeding and how everything looks in the AFC playoffs? Sean McDermott, a little after 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Yeah, I ran across this story today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes,
If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Going to read it to you. This, it's out there in different places. This is from the New York Post I'm reading. Jets cancel invite to superfan to take $100,000 field goal challenge in honor of her late father. Quote, she said, could have made it. So here's the story, basically. The Jets had some sort of contest called Kick for Cash competition. And they saw this young lady kicking at MetLife Stadium in some capacity, like at a tailgate or whatever. And they're like, hey, do you want to, you should be a part of this. Like, come and join the contest. Her name is Ashley Castagno-Gervasi. And apparently she attends games, it says, in honor of her late Jets fan dad. Okay, so, and she's going through the process and she gets all the way to the end. And they find out she's a local high school soccer coach. So they tell her, you're ineligible now. You can't play. You can't be in it. And they literally like pulled the invite. And her quote is, so it says the 33-year-old former Stony Brook University goalkeeper, she was a soccer player in college, okay, who played from 2010 to 14, said she was spotted by the team kicking in the fan zone outside MetLife, asked by Jets reps to qualify for the contest in October. They never asked if she was a coach, she said. She later qualified to kick for the big bucks during the Jets-Patriots game this week by nailing a 20-yard field goal. She said she's been doing it. She's been nailing them, 25-yarders, been at practice with her kids, and like, yeah, she's going to go do this thing. Then she got a call from Jets staff to review rules and go over details. She was supposed to sign an affidavit like the three other finalists. That's when they told her the rules prohibited recent players and coaches from Olympic, college, and high school soccer, rugby, and football teams. But yet they let her go through the process to lead up to it and said, sorry, you can't do it anymore. The Jets were contacted, apparently, by the Post. Quote, in accordance with competition rules and regulations, the Jets wrote back, one individual who successfully made the qualifying kick will not be able to advance to the final stage of the challenge. We understand the disappointment associated with this and have made every effort to provide an alternative benefit to show our appreciation. Here's an alternative benefit. Give her 100K. That's the alternative benefit.
That's a very good
just
benefit.
Just give it to her.
I take that benefit all away.
You don't have to. You know what? We're going to let other people compete. We're going to give you the money. It's okay. You know? Oh, my gosh.
Can we have a Pat McAfee situation where she has, like, somebody else kick for her and then she still gets money? Because on,
I don't know, but I don't know if they would make it. I mean, maybe. Yeah, you could do that.
Day,
yeah.
They do that. They do that where the person doesn't feel comfortable enough to kick it, so they ask somebody else to kick and they split it. They split the pot.
Well, she's like, this is life changing money. Yeah, of course. Yeah. 100K. Did you see a couple years ago? I think it was last year, maybe there was a half court shot contest one of these colleges did. Kid made it. Everybody's going crazy. And they reviewed the film and his toe touched the half court line. So they disqualified him.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they're like, come on.
Right. You know, I got a funny story on this.
Okay, go ahead.
My dad won a car.
Come on.
In a hockey ball shot contest. He was number 12. And it was over 100 yards. I remember it clear as day. I was holding his jacket. I was like 8 at the time, 7 or 8. I'm freezing my butt off. It's cold February. And I remember him telling me this. There's this little crack on the ice. And if you hit it and hit it perfectly, it's going to go in the hole. He shot it. It hit the crack, went straight in there. We still have the car to this day.
And he got the car.
Yeah, he got the car.
I love it. All right. Well, that's a happy ending story. I love that.
Right?
You still have the car to this day. That's great. I love it. So they give you a good car, too, that you know can last. All right. That's cool. Good for your dad on that. Not good for the Jets and what happened here with this young lady and this woman and her not being able to kick here. They didn't tell her the rules. They let her do all this. And then as they write in the story, they pulled the ball away from her like Charlie Brown in the Peanuts cartoon. Funny. I love it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Another hour on the way. Sean McDermott on the way. Pat Hammer on the way. AFC playoffs. Schedule for this week. A lot to get to on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and a Buffalo Football Holiday Friday on WGR.
I'm going to go Josh Allen. And here's the deal. Like, Josh Allen to me is Superman, right? Like, he does significantly more with less. If you look at his receiving core versus what Jalen Hurts has, you would say advantage there, right? And so when I look at Josh Allen, he has put this team on his back a number of times. They have literally one of the worst, if not the worst, run defense in the NFL. And for him to be carrying this team into the playoffs, and literally, y'all, when you look at the AFC, they have a real shot. If their defense can just Band-Aid it, yep, they got a shot. And why? Because of Josh Allen.
Okay, so that's Jeff Saturday there. I don't disagree with a lot of what he said. I think, though, that there's this – let's be fair and honest here, right? We did this last year when it was Josh against Lamar for the MVP, and so many Bills fans said, well, wait a minute, Lamar's got Derrick Henry with him. Folks, Josh doesn't have just nothing with him, right? He does. I agree with what he's saying there about look at the receiving core. We all know that the Bills have a challenged wide receiver group, right? Especially on the outside. He also has the league leading rusher with him. So it's not like he's void of talent around him. He has that. So I think it's a nuanced conversation here because you're talking about what Josh needs to do compared to other players when he says he's got to do more. He's got to do more with less. That is true at the wide receiver spot. He also has more at the running back spot than most have. But you're not asking Josh Allen to run the – I mean, you're asking him to run the ball, but he's handing the ball off to James Cook. When it comes time, though, to pass, then you're certainly asking him to do more than you are most other quarterbacks in the league who have more at their disposal to throw to. That's where the nuanced conversation comes in. That's a debate, I believe, they were talking, Jeff Saturday, about Hurts and Allen, right, and who you'd rather have. And, I mean, I don't know. Would anybody really – is somebody going to take Jalen Hurts over Josh Allen? I don't think so. That's no disrespect to Jalen Hurts. He's been tremendous. But I couldn't see it. I mean, Josh Allen is just such a unique unicorn that the things that he can do compared to everybody else at his size especially. And his availability, too, is a big thing. And this week we're monitoring that availability. It shouldn't be an issue for him to play on Sunday, from everything we're told by Sean McDermott, by Josh Allen himself. But we're going to hear from the Bills head coach here, hopefully during this half hour, sometime soon and shortly. So keep it right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sal Capaccio with you here. It's a holiday football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Talked with Paul Hamilton last half hour. In case you missed that, check it out on demand at WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. Sabres home tomorrow night to the Boston Bruins. We'll have pregame for you at 6. The puck drops at 7 downtown. And, of course, all day long on Sunday, Bills-Eagles on WGR and the Bills Radio Network. And, of course, that's a 4:25 p.m. kick. Now, before we get to that 4:25 p.m. kick, you're going to have a game with the Patriots and Jets that I don't think many people are expecting to turn out other than the Patriots winning. But it is still a game to pay attention to because it's the NFL and you never know. And the 3-12 Jets at home under a guy like Aaron Glenn with their final home game of the year are going to want to play spoiler. They're going to do anything they can to try and beat the Patriots. I don't know if they can. I don't think they can. They don't have enough, but all it takes is a break here, a break there. A big run, an interception, whatever. That's what it takes. So I know you'll be dialed into that at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Did I hear right? That's a Fox game? Patriots-Jets is a Fox game, I heard. Is that right? I think I heard that from Joe this morning. Think about that. I mean, it's weird, right? I know networks have different games now and they cross over the conferences. Patriots-Jets on Fox. Bills-Dolphins was on Fox, I think, like this year, whatever. But Patriots-Jets on Fox. Bills, Eagles on Fox, like three of the AFC East teams are on Fox, and you're going to get that at 1 o'clock, and then you're going to get the Bills. But, of course, we're going to be on the radio call, so Chris Brown, Eric Wood, and myself here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. 4:25 p.m. kick. You're going to know the result of that Patriots-Jets game. And I guess we just think about if it were to happen, right? If it were to happen, what the atmosphere would be like inside Highmark Stadium leading up to that game. Pretty amazing. We'll get a weather check on that, by the way, after Sean McDermott joins us as well. From our guy, Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Tony is in West Seneca next, though. Hi, Tony. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal. I'm your Highmark Stadium historian here.
All right.
Just wanted to say that Next week we play the Jets. That was the first game the Bills ever played at Rich Stadium. And the second game tomorrow was against the Eagles. And I remember the game against the Eagles. We won 27-26. Amazing game. O.J. Simpson against Roman Gabriel. Tom Dempsey was kicking for the Eagles. And, man, he missed a chip shot at the end of that game. I still can remember it. 27-26, the Bills won.
You have a great memory. I'm looking at it right now. That was October 7th, 1973. You're right. It was the second game. Dempsey a 51-yarder. Dempsey a 22-yarder. Dempsey a 14-yarder. Dempsey a 19-yarder. And then you're saying he missed one after that, huh?
He missed one. It was so short, I can't even tell you. It couldn't have been more than 20 yards, but it was at the other end of the field, and I couldn't see it. And when he missed it, my dad and I just looked at each other like, oh, my God,
what's
he missed
crazy,
it.
Think about this now for a minute, Tony, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as you know, the goalpost used to be at the goal line, not in the back of the end zone, right? So in this game, Tom Dempsey kicked a 14-yard field goal. That's impossible now. You can't even do that.
You're right. And it was just so funny because, you know, here's Dempsey with the record for the longest field goal ever. And, you know, Roman Gabriel being there was amazing. It was an amazing game. And they've had other amazing games with Philly, too, like the time Randall Cunningham was here in the 90s. So
we talked about that one. And do you know, I'm going to give you another thing about this game. I'm looking at the box score, the one you're talking about, the first year ever at this current stadium. In this game, the Bills win with Joe Ferguson going 6-for-9 for 63 yards.
Yeah, that was back then. It was O.J. left, O.J. right, O.J. up the middle. That's all they did.
That's all you needed to do, 171 yards on the day. Really good memories,
before, when they won the opener, it was 9-7. I mean, all we had was three field goals.
Well, that's what they had to do to win back then. So thanks a lot.
We'll take it any way we can. Hey, have a happy new year.
You too, Tony. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Seth. Bye.
You got it, yeah. Oh, my God, I'm laughing, kind of looking at the box score, like, oh, my God, 6-of-9 for less than 70 yards passing, and they won the game. Right? That's like that Derek Anderson game with Cleveland when he came to Buffalo. There's some my first. Do you have a first Eagles Bills memory, Dan? Like, what's your first? You think, okay, Eagles Bills. What's the first thing like you remember about those two teams playing each other? Do you have one?
Man,
there was a classic a couple of years ago when the Bills went, and if Gabe Davis turns the right way or Josh throws it over the right shoulder, whichever way you want to look at it, they leave Philly with an overtime
win. Right, you got the overtime win.
Yeah.
But then I remember, I think it was the first matchup after the LeSean McCoy, Kiko Alonso trade.
Oh, yeah.
And Philly barely squeaked it out. And I was looking back at it. It's like Mark Sanchez was the starting quarterback.
23-20 in Philly. You know what I remember about that? That was in December. And it was unseasonably warm in Philly. It was like a really nice, like, December day in Phily that day, and they just shut down LeSean McCoy. He had nowhere to run that game, and that was like LeSean's return. 20 for 74 yards is what he had.
Yeah, and I remember that game. Mike Gillisley gets a touchdown that you never would have thought. 19-yarder.
So that's the first. Okay, I remember that. Yep. The Eagles, like I said, the Eagles came here in October of 11. It was like an unseasonably warm game, as I remember that. But that's the game at the very end. The Bills run a hard count, and the Eagles jump off sides, and the Bills keep the ball, and they win it by a touchdown. And they beat it was the middle of October there, October 9th, 2011, in that one. My first one, now I will tell you, for some reason, like, I remember games from 83, 84. Like, I'm, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And they did play in 84, and they did play in 85. Two losses. But I don't really remember those games. The Bills were 2-14 in those years, back-to-back 84 and 85. They lose to the Eagles those years. The first one I really remember is the finale in 87. So in this game, Cornelius Bennett had just been traded to the Bills, okay, Halloween. And in this game, Cornelius Bennett had, I think, like 4 sacks or something like that. It was incredible. He was all over the place. And the Bills, it didn't matter. The Bills lost the game. And Bennett, 4 sacks. Yeah, 4 sacks in this game. 3 forced fumbles. He had 4 sacks and 3 forced fumbles. The Bills lose. This was the finale of 87. The Bills were out of it. 17-7. That's the first time I ever heard the term run for the bus. I'm like, what does that mean? It meant that the player's like, just get out of here. And I remember somebody like calling the radio, like WGR after him, like, yeah, everybody but Cornelius Bennett was running for the bus. And I'm like, what does that mean? Oh, I was a kid, right? Oh, they were just trying to get out of there and go home because the season's over. Bennett, though, he had just come to Buffalo a month before. four sacks. That was the first. That's the first Bills-Eagles game I really remember, which is weird because in 84 and 85, I was dialed in and they weren't very good, but the Bills lost a couple of times. Once in 84, they lose 27-17 at home, and once in 85, they go to Philly and lose 21-17. Last time these two teams played, 37-34 in overtime. I'm sure you all remember, in Philly, in the drizzle, rain. Bills get the ball about 20 seconds left. They decide not to try to score. Probably not a good decision. You could have gone down there. Maybe something bad happens. I get it. Like, why? But fans are upset. They go to overtime. They could have won it. All of a sudden, there is a throw to Gabe Davis where he turns the wrong way, or Josh throws it on the wrong shoulder, whichever. Could have been a touchdown. It's not. Bills kick a field goal. Eagles come down. They score. Jalen Hurts runs it in to win the game. This was also a game where I remember the officiating was very, very suspect in this game. Very suspect. Was that Sean Hockley's crew, if I remember? Like, this is a Sean Hockley game.
Yeah, yes. It might have been.
Oh, yeah. It was. It totally was. I'm going to look at it right now. I remember, in fact, who is it? Andrew Brandt, who's on X and used to be with the Packers and all that. Andrew Brandt actually, during the game, literally wrote something on Twitter to the effect of, what did Sean McDermott ever do to Sean Hockley? Like, because he was like, oh my God, this is terrible. There's a horse collar they didn't call Josh Allen, right? Oh yeah, I remember that. You know what got me mad that game? I'm on the sidelines. And at one point, it was like 8 penalties to nothing, Bills, like, getting all the penalties. And I'm like, and I said to somebody who was an employee of, like, one of the Eagles sideline, like the flag guy or something like that. Somebody like that. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, 8 penalties against the Bills, none against the Eagles. What's going on here? And he looked at me dead serious and goes, well, they should stop committing them. I'm like, what are you doing? What? Oh man, I was mad.
That's killer.
Oh my God.
That's killer.
Bills lost that one. That was a tough one. Big game this week for both teams. The Eagles are not locked into the three. They can get the two. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about how they want to play things, how the Bills want to play things the next 2 weeks. And the Bills are still alive for the division, of course. But we'll get an injury update from Sean McDermott. He joins me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that I put it in terms is, to win the lottery, you got to buy a ticket. To win a Super Bowl, you got to make the playoffs. Getting into the playoffs is our ticket. What we do with that is up to us, and going out there and executing each and every week. And you want to go into the playoffs playing as well as you can, and obviously there's still a chance for us to win the division, and obviously we need help doing that. But at the end of the day, we want to come out and take it one game at a time and still have that backs against the wall mentality and try to play our best football going into it.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about just getting in. You get in and then you see what happens. And that's right. I think this year, more than any year that I can remember, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about who's not in the playoffs, right? No Patrick Mahomes, maybe, likely, no Lamar Jackson. He's injured. We'll get to that game in a minute here tomorrow. No Joe Burrow. New quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, new coaches. And here you have the Bills and Josh Allen and Sean McDermott in this organization that's been highly successful, that's had these opportunities, but these teams have stood in their way. And they're gone. They're out of the way. So you go do it. But there's no guarantees. You finish with that 5, 6, or 7 seed, you're going on the road, right? And it's tough to do. It's tough to go on the road 3 straight games in the NFL in the regular season, let alone the playoffs. But you got to get there first. And then you let the chips fall where they may, and you do what you can with it. We'll get to the weekend schedule in just a moment, but first, Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show for his weekly radio segment.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, coach. Happy Football Friday and Merry Christmas. Belated Christmas. Hope you and your family had an outstanding Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas belatedly to you guys as well. And we had a great Christmas, very blessed, and had some good time to just be together as a family.
And, of course, with when it comes to the team, you guys changed up the schedule a little bit this week. But what does it mean for you guys as a team to kind of come together as a team, celebrate Christmas, and how it goes about doing that as a football family?
Well, when you share experiences like that, right, it brings you closer together, you hope. That's part of the goal. And, you know, we were able to spend some time together. And I know some of the teammates, some of the guys got together at each other's houses yesterday. And you're just able to spend some of that time off the field together, which is so, so important for us as a team.
Yeah, I love hearing that. Coach, I know right before you do this interview, you were on a Fox Sports production. Tom Brady's doing the game, and of course you competed against Tom, you coached against him, and now he's in this different role. What's it been like for you getting to know Tom Brady as a media analyst?
Yeah, it's a little different. You know, you spend so many of waking hours when you're going against Tom Brady trying to beat him, and you know, you're not really a fan. I would just say that respectfully.
Yes.
And in this case, you know, he's moved into a different chapter of his life, so we've got, a closer working relationship now than we did before. But, man, was he tough to beat and tough to go against. But it's good to see him having hung up the cleats and in this new chapter of his life.
We'll get to the game he's doing. You're playing the Eagles this week in just a moment. Let's do a quick rewind to last week, a close game. Close for comfort in the fourth quarter. You guys were able to pull it out. A couple of important defensive stops. What do you find out about your team when you go through moments like that where you got to come up with big plays and big moments and guys step up to make those plays?
Well, it certainly tests you, right? It tests you in a lot of ways, mentally, physically, strategically as well. So, you know, sometimes it looks easy that we're pulling some of those things out or executing at the level we are in those moments, but there's a lot that goes into it, obviously, and the players and coaches have done a great job with that.
We had some Pro Bowl announcements earlier this week, Coach. Josh Allen, James Cook, Deion Dawkins. What's it mean for these guys to be honored in that fashion? And, of course, there's always guys that you think maybe deserve that recognition. I know there are bigger goals and team goals, of course, but pretty cool to see those guys get recognized.
Well, it is. It's great recognition for them. And those, to some extent, are also team
That's right.
Mentions, team awards as well. So those guys have been very unselfish in their approach and yet at the same time separated themselves from the pack, if you will, and that's why they're recognized like they are.
James Cook currently leads the NFL in rushing yards. He's over 1,500. What has made James so special this year? And by the way, I mean, you know, carrying a big load too. He leads the NFL in attempts. You guys are not afraid to put a lot on James, and he's rewarded you this year and himself. What is it? What has made him so special this year?
Well, his mindset, his attitude, you know, the look in his eye week in and week out, in particular on the back half of the season, I would say, last four games, and he's been able to motivate, influence, and inspire our team with not only his play but also his approach on the sideline and day-to-day in the building here.
Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline. Coach, you got a lot of guys on the names on the injury report. I know you had a couple of a walkthrough and he didn't practice yesterday. Is there anybody you know as of right now on the active roster who will not play on Sunday?
Well, we've got three that I know for sure right now. Jordan Phillips, our defensive tackle, Matt Prater, our kicker, and then Jordan Poyer, our safety, will all miss this game and be out of practice today.
Okay, you had a few other DNPs. I'll just ask you about Daquan Jones, Dalton Kincaid, and Dawson Knox to start. Do you anticipate them practicing today and seeing where that goes?
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. You know, they're all on kind of a case-by-case basis at this point.
Josh Allen, of course, notable with the foot injury. How do you feel that you know, he's progressed through the week as far as any limitations that he has?
No, he's gotten better each day and is trending in the right direction, and we'll be ready to play here.
And then, of course, Matt Prater, kicker, obviously. You guys had Michael Badgley. I know you did bring in a few kickers to work out, so it seems like it would trend towards him not playing. So Badgley is your kicker right now on the roster, and the confidence that you have in him after, you know, last week and trying to bounce back.
Well, it's never easy to come into a team, especially late in the year. You know, there were some kicks that he made that I thought were good kicks for us, in particular the field goal in the third or fourth quarter there that he made. And we move forward. And it's important that someone's confidence is where it needs to be. And he knows that that's where he has to get to. And we're going to help him with that. And that'll be a part of our game and how it goes for us this weekend.
And, of course, this weekend you play the Philadelphia Eagles, Coach, the defending Super Bowl champions coming to town. You're very familiar with this organization, of course, having spent some time there. But excellent on both sides of the ball. What stands out to you about what they do on offense with a dynamic running back and, of course, Jalen Hurts in that wide receiver core?
Yeah, you mentioned a talented team. You know, very talented team. They're talented up front on both sides of the ball. You know, you mentioned their running back, obviously, you know, one of a kind in what he's been able to accomplish over the years, and then the two wide receivers as well. So tough outfit to bottle up. We'll have our hands full with the challenge, but we look forward to it.
And then, of course, on the defensive side, they're loaded with first-round picks over there, a lot of talented guys, especially up front. How critical is a game like this up front for your guys on the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, that's going to be huge for us. If you want to control the game, you got to control the line of scrimmage. That's really where it starts for us.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. I know you got some other media to do today. Look forward to Sunday, and again, Merry Christmas, belated Christmas to your family. We'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks. Same to you and everyone out there. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. So he has declared out Jordan Phillips, Matt Prater, and Jordan Poyer. So Matt Prater out. Michael Badgley still the kicker. They did bring in a couple of guys this week. They did not sign anybody. So that means that Michael Badgley will still be getting the call, I guess, unless they sign somebody today. I guess that could happen. But it looks like that's the case, and I like that. You know, to stick by him, and you get a couple of big kicks you had to make. And, you know, last week he missed one, but obviously made a couple other kicks. We'll see if that matters in this game. Jordan Phillips out for the game. Jordan Poyer out for the game. What does that mean about nickel and safety and where everything trends as far as Cam Lewis is concerned, as far as Jordan Hancock, Darnell Savage, maybe we get a little bit of him. And then nothing at wide receiver as far as anybody. That's the thing. You look at the injury report, there's nothing as far as wide receiver is concerned as far as anybody you know, on the injury report. So whatever happens at wide receiver, basically healthy scratches, right? I mean, so if you get no Keon, if you get no Gabe Davis, these are all healthy scratches. And I am curious what they're going to do. 803-0550, we're going to get Pat Hammer on the phone in just a moment, and we will give you the weather outlook for Sunday's game. Bills take on the Philadelphia Eagles, defending Super Bowl champions. Boy, the Eagles, if you ever need an example outside of Buffalo of a team that is kind of like, you know, things that we're dealing with here, that they talk about in other places, the Eagles are certainly at the top of it. Here's the defending Super Bowl champs. They're 10-5 on the year. I mean, the Bills are 11-4. And yet, it has been a roller coaster of emotions and talk in Philly on what their season is or can be or has been. They get the Bills, then they're back home for one final game against the Commanders. And they have a chance at the 2 seed. They'd have to win the next 2 games. Now, it's possible because the Bears, who they're chasing, are playing the 49ers. We'll do the schedule in just a little while. Let's get now, though, to WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
And Pat Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline. Thanks a lot, buddy, for being patient. Of course, Sean McDermott. We have to get the injury report. And, of course, always very important to know who's on the field and who's not going to be, and very important to know the weather for Sunday, and that's why we bring you on every single week. So thank you, and I hope you had a very, very amazing Merry Christmas, you and your family.
We did. Thank you, Sal. Just the kids and myself and the wife, just like Coach said, just nice family time. It was good. Little chaos as well, but you know that goes with the territory.
No doubt about it.
We had a very nice Christmas. Thanks.
No doubt about it. All right, so let's start with the next couple of days. We have some interesting weather headed here today, and I think that's very top of mind and important for people during holiday travel. So what do you have for us here today throughout Western New York and into the weekend?
Yeah, so just in the short term, Sal, really messy this afternoon. I just went outside. The freezing rain has just begun. So we have got, it's going to be a mix of sleet, freezing rain, maybe some snow. The farther north you go, let's say the Falls, Lockport, you're likely going to see snow. Buffalo, it's going to be a combo of sleet and freezing rain, maybe a little snow in there. But then the South Towns, Orchard Park, down into the Southern Tier, it's going to be a sleety and with some freezing rain. So that's over the afternoon. So if you are traveling in and around Western New York, take it slow. It is going to get kind of icy out there over the next couple of hours. So just a heads up. Now, this is followed by the second system that we're tracking that will be here on Sunday. And it is going to bring in some warmer air. And instead of sleet and freezing rain, we're going to have rain, it looks like, for the game on Sunday.
Hmm. Not the best weather outlook you could have given me today.
Okay. 38 rain, in my opinion, is like the worst weather ever.
Yes. Yes. Okay? Agreed.
I would rather have 21 in snow with a light wind. Bring that any day. But when it's rainy and it's, you know, it's not cold, but it's cool, you know, it's not the greatest. Okay. It's not awful, but it's going to be slippery out there. The rain likely going to be arriving, you know, during the afternoon. It's likely going to be raining for tailgating at kickoff at 425 and probably raining throughout the game. Could there be some shifts and adjustments? Yes, but that's just how it looks right now. I don't think avoiding the rain is possible at this point.
All right, so when you say rain, are we talking a heavy downpour or just like, man, it's just going to be a steady nuisance all day?
I think it's going to be a steady nuisance. It doesn't look terribly heavy, but, you know, it is going to be, it's going to be, you know, noticeable. It's going to have an impact, I got to believe, on the ball, the field.
Yeah.
Your, you know, the... you know, slipping and sliding maybe a little bit, you know, which always has you concerned with injuries as we're rounding up.
Sure.
The season. I don't want the whole let's get AJ Klein off the couch scenario once again with any late season injuries and that kind of thing can happen when you have wet weather. But that is going to be the case on Sunday.
Okay, let me, as I have you on, if you need a minute to do this, go right ahead, because I'm springing this on you. You're getting me to think about this now. It's not far away, but in the Meadowlands in New Jersey, the Patriots play the Jets. That's Sunday at 1 p.m. Could you give us a, is it going to be bad there too? Because that could be the ultimate like equalizer weather when you have a 3-win team and the Bills fans are hoping the Jets can spring an upset. Like, are they looking at bad weather as well there?
No, they really aren't.
Okay.
The weather is coming from west to east.
Okay.
So, Sunday, you know, afternoon does not, the weather will not be there yet. So I think it's going to be, they're going to be okay for that game on Sunday. Yeah, you're right. It is a great equalizer, but unfortunately, the weather looks a lot better than ours.
Okay. So what are we looking timeline-wise? Let's walk through this on Sunday. If you're coming into town, a lot of people are coming in for the holidays, Saturday night, maybe they're driving in, Sunday morning they get up. It's not a 1 o'clock game. It's a 4:25 p.m. game. Is there any recommendation as far as when it might be a little better to get to the stadium, not to have the rain or anything like that impact it?
So, yeah. Oh, man, I'm looking outside. It's getting icy here downtown.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, the Sunday morning, as the system's approaching, clouds are increasing. There actually could be, don't let this concern you, there could be a brief little window of freezing rain or even a snowflake Sunday morning. That goes away. Travel to the stadium should be fine. It should be mainly dry. Mid-morning, late morning into the afternoon. But, you know, as tailgate parties are getting going, that's kind of when the rain begins. But again, it's just the rain. It's not going to be slippery. I mean, it's just going to be kind of that nuisance rain. The good news to sell, not a lot of wind, okay? We're not worried about wind with this.
I like that.
So that's good. So I guess there could be worse weather. 38 rain and wind. We'll take the wind out of the equation. So that's good. It'll be a little bit of a breeze, but nothing that I'm too worried about. But yeah, it's gonna be just one of those games. I feel like every time they play Philadelphia, yeah, it rains, right?
Well, the last time they're here, I think it was pretty bad. Yeah, it was rainy and super windy, actually, the last time they're in Buffalo. Yeah. And then when the Bills were in Philly a couple years ago, it was the same thing. It was rainy. It's kind of the same weather you're describing right now. It was a little bit warmer, if I remember, maybe, but it was not great weather. You're right about that. It always seems like Bills and Eagles get together, and that's the case. All right, after the game, drive home. You know, just be careful right out there and what it's going to be like Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay, so drive home is, you know, still wet. There's going to be a big change coming Monday. So if anybody's, you know, heading out or going somewhere, Monday's going to be a day that starts in the 40s, rain. By the afternoon, there's going to be snow and blowing snow. Winter is going to make a valiant return next week as cold and snow come back. Remember when we were talking last week, like, I put all my chips on red, or, you know, that cold and snow is coming back, and that'll certainly be the case, it looks like, next week. And then, you know, even into January, we'll see. But, next week, as you're starting a new week, and as we get ready for the following week against the Jets, there's going to be a lot of wintry weather next week.
Ooh,
leading up to the
weekend. All right, you're already teasing us with that one.
I know. Well, okay, so just speaking ahead way down the road, there's going to be some cold and lake effect snow going on later Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, maybe focused south of Buffalo, but still. I think that weather is moving out by the next following weekend, but it's a little too early to tell any specifics. But at least the deep cold that will be here on the middle of next week will kind of be easing back by the following weekend, if you will. So it won't be as arctic on Sunday as it may feel the middle of next week.
Okay, and then who knows? We don't know what the weather's going to be like, where the Bills are going to be after that, pal. We're just going to have to be out. You got to keep your head in a swivel. They could be in Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Denver, back at home in Buffalo. Who knows? New England? I don't know.
Right. And Denver, my goodness, it's like summertime in Denver, by the way. So maybe going there, they have not had winter weather at all there.
Yesterday, Washington, D.C., they said it was 52 degrees for the game in Washington.
Really?
Yeah. I turned on the game. They're like, yeah, it's Christmas, but you wouldn't know it. It's 52 degrees here. I'm like, what? That's in D.C. yesterday.
Yeah, it was a very, you know, nationwide, coast to coast, it was a very warm Christmas. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily know it here. But yeah, it was balmy in much of the country. That is about to change, though, as cold returns. But yeah, it was a, you know, week. Of course, it wasn't a white Christmas here. I would have thought for sure a white Christmas as the month started, but everything just kind of flipped about a week ago. But anyway, we're going back to the cold next week.
Okay, buddy, we'll check in with you next week. Hope you have an amazing new year, and then we'll talk about what the weather holds for the final scheduled game ever at Highmark Stadium. Merry Christmas once again. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks a lot, bud.
All right. Bye, Sal.
You got it. That is Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. And when we do come back, I promise you, I will talk about what's happening in the NFL coming up this weekend, independent of the Bills and the Eagles on Sunday. I am told Zach Jones will take you for the next hour, leading up until One Bills Live. So have him on a Buffalo Football Friday. In the meantime, week number 17 kicked off yesterday with three games. Cowboys beat the Commanders 30-23, two teams out of the playoffs. Vikings beat the Lions 23-10, now both teams out of the playoffs. Lions had a shot. I don't know what happened to the Lions this year, but it did not go well, especially late in the year. They've lost three in a row. And four out of five, only win they had was over the Cowboys 44-30. But not the season they anticipated. They're out of it now. So are the Vikings. Not the season they anticipated, or a lot of people did, for the Minnesota Vikings this year. And then the Broncos, who are in the playoffs, fighting for the one seed, they come back to beat the Chiefs 20-13. Another one-score game victory for the Broncos. They're 13-3 now. Chiefs out of the playoffs. Was it the last game ever for Travis Kelce at Arrowhead? They will play on the road at Vegas next week. The Chiefs, that is. Okay, tomorrow we have two very important games on the NFL schedule. Starts at 4:30. This one impacts the Bills. Texans at Chargers. Who are you rooting for here? You could go either way. You want the Texans to win, they could wind up passing the Bills in the standings. But then again, that opens the door for the Bills to pass the Chargers. You want the Chargers to win? It's going to be tough for the Bills to catch them, maybe. They do have a Broncos game later. That keeps the Texans down at number six. I think you want the Chargers here, right? I think that's probably what you want. If you get the Texans, you're talking about a bunch of teams all mixed up, and the Bills could wind up being the seventh seed. I don't know. Does it really matter? We talked about it earlier. All these teams kind of seem like they can beat each other anyway. Interesting game. Ravens at Packers. Ravens at 7-8, under 500. Packers 9-5-1, and the Ravens still trying to keep their playoff hopes, divisional hopes alive. Right now, the Steelers at 9-6, the Ravens at 7-8. If the Ravens win, the Steelers, they have to win against Cleveland. If the Ravens lose, the Steelers can just basically rest 2 weeks. I mean, it's crazy to think about. And they could just give those guys rest. And that's why you might not want the 5 seed if you're the Bills. Because you'll be facing a very rested Aaron Rodgers and TJ Watt and Cam Hayward and company. Seahawks at Panthers. Very big game for both teams for two different reasons. Panthers, the only way they get in is winning the division. They have to win this game at home as they're fighting with the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are the Dolphins. Panthers are a game up on the Bucs, but the Bucs with a win over the Dolphins, and the Panthers lose, they're tied, then they play next week. It's really interesting. Seahawks trying for the number one seed, trying to hold off both the Rams and the 49ers. Very interesting. That's a 1 p.m. game. Also 1 p.m., Cardinals, Bengals, two teams that have combined for 8 wins this year and not making the playoffs. Steelers at Browns, that is a 1 p.m. game, and hey, these are the kinds of games the Browns could win, and the kinds of games the Steelers lose sometimes. And I think a lot of eyes on the Myles Garrett watch. Will he get the sack record this week against Aaron Rodgers? Also, Jags at Colts. Colts desperately need to win. If they don't, they're out. Could they be out by tomorrow if the Texans win or the Colts out? Maybe. I think they are. Yeah. I think the Texans clinch a playoff spot with a win tomorrow, and then the Colts are out. If not, the Chargers win. That keeps the Colts alive, and they're playing the Jags. Jags are looking to try and maybe even get the one seed. Told you about Bucks and Dolphins. Dolphins season over. Bucks need a win to stay alive for their playoff hopes. Patriots and Jets, of course, before the Bills game. We're hoping for that Jets big upset. Patriots still trying to not only get the one seed, but take a step towards the division. Patriots win, Bills lose. Patriots get the division. Patriots win, Bills win. They still got to do it next week. Or both lose. Saints at Titans. Another game with combined 8 wins, but two teams that have kind of shown a little bit here with some younger quarterbacks coming in lately. I mean, heck, the Saints have won 3 in a row. You know that? They beat the Bucs, the Panthers, and the Jets. All right. And the Titans, for their part, they won last week over the Chiefs. I mean, a depleted Chiefs team. They won 2 out of 3. And they kind of held with the 49ers for a little while in between there, sandwiching it. You got the Giants at Raiders. That one might determine the number one pick, actually. That's a 4:05 game. Eagles-Bills at 4:25. Late Sunday game. Bears at 49ers. Big-time matchup in the NFC with two teams fighting for playoff positioning. 49ers still alive for that one seed. Monday night, Rams at Falcons. We'll talk about that when I talk to you again on Monday after the Bills take on the Eagles. Again, all the coverage all weekend long. Sabres, Bruins tomorrow at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6. Bills, Eagles, 4:25 p.m. all day long here on the Bills Radio Network and, of course, on WGR Sports Radio 550, where you will get next, Zach Jones. Have a great rest of your holiday weekend, everybody.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.